This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Yankees eliminated, and this is unfortunately a Blue Jays highlight, but it is time for the Corona Lime Time highlight of the night. And this was the biggest moment for me in the game that kind of made it out of reach for the Yankees.
1-0 from Williams. Swing on line drive into left center field. That'll plate two. Here comes Clement. Here comes Jimenez. And it's now 4-1. Nathan Lucas got a pitch up and away and served it into left center field.
Nathan Lucas, two RBI, ended up being a double as he made it to second base. That was the Corona Lime Time highlight of the night presented by Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball. And you had John Smoltz right before that pitch say, you know, what you really don't want to see is Vlad Guerrero get up in this spot, because what's going to happen is you're going to probably, if he comes up with two outs, you're going to have two runs in, because that means that a single is going to happen, or three runs if he hits a home run. So, and that's exactly what happened. Ended up being 4-1.
Clairvoyant.
Yeah. And it was that to me was a true backbreaker. All right. Let's go to Tom. He's calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Tom?
Good morning, guys. Love the show. Okay. So correct me if I'm wrong. Brian Cashman gets hired as the general manager of the New York Yankees. 30-year-old kid, 1998. He walks into a dynasty. The dynasty ends in 2000. Since 2000, the Yankees have won one World Series in 25 years. Why does this guy still have a job? I don't get it. He's the root of the problem. You got to clear house from the top down. Do we agree?
Yeah, well, Tom, first of all, I'll address why he's still the general manager. They've had more success and wins than just about any franchise in that time frame. Not World Series wins, but wins overall. They're always in the playoffs. They're always successful. He's been known as the other Steinbrenner kid. He is so close to the Steinbrenners. He represents the organization very well. He's just a mainstay there, and he's firmly entrenched in the organization. I don't think they're going to fire Brian Cashman. I don't think they're going to fire Aaron Boone, but they have not figured out a way to get off of this carousel of very good. And these other teams, even though the Yankees are winning and always in the playoffs, these other teams have bad years, then they come back and they're even better. Or they have a really good year, and then they take a step back, and then 3 years later, they have another really good year. I mean, the Toronto Blue Jays were in last place last year. You know, the Boston Red Sox, they'd have some down years, they'd come back, and then they'd win another World Series. The Yankees are just here. They're just like flatlining in the same place. So if I were Hal, and I really cared about winning, I would say, Brian, you've been here for 1,000 years. What we're doing is not getting us over the hump, and we got to do something about it. So that's what I would do. I said that a couple of years ago. I stand by it. There needs to be a refreshing of this whole thing. It's sort of like I made the analogy with the Yankees. It's like that old restaurant that was great in the 90s. And then you always used to take, it was always packed. But then year by year by year, it got a little bit worse. And then some other like cooler, hip restaurants were popping up in the neighborhood. And then they weren't understanding why they weren't getting the same clientele. But the sauce is still the same sauce. You know, but people aren't coming in anymore. I don't understand. And there's cobwebs up in the thing, and all of a sudden, boom, it shuts down. And then everybody else around them is thriving. Sort of feels like that. Like they need a refreshing of this. If they really care about winning championships and not just being very good.
You wouldn't be spending $330 million if you didn't care about winning championships. I mean,
but
they're
spending money to make money.
I know, but the amount of money that they spend, you know, is right up there with the Mets and right up there with the Dodgers. Maybe not as much as the Dodgers. They don't have the luxury tax that the Dodgers do. But I have to say that, you know, when you look at, I think a couple guys came through here for Toronto in a very, very big way. Clement was one of those, but it was all started by Vlad Guerrero's home run in game one. And then the pitching performance from Yosevich. And then this pitching performance last night, this parade of relievers. Because, you know, the Yankees starting pitching was horrendous with the exception of Cam Schlittler last night. That the first three games, they were awful.
Yeah.
They were awful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, next year, I would think that Clark Schmidt at some point in time is going to be back. You know that Gerrit Cole is going to be back. It would be nice for the Yankees to have a year in which all of their starting pitchers can make it through a freaking season.
Well, it never happens with any organization.
And then we saw that, and you're right, because we saw that last night with Toronto, because, you know, what's his name? Scherzer and Bassett weren't even on the roster for this particular series. And that's why they had to go through what they went through last night. And it was brilliant last night. John Schneider deserves a lot of credit for the way that he managed that whole aspect of eight different pitchers. You know, and this is where a decision-making manager in the moment has to impact the game in a positive way. And the players that he put out there, for the most part, almost all of them, did what they were asked to do. Which is a compliment to the players, but it also shows you just how well that game was managed from a managing standpoint.
Let's go to Mark in South River. What's up, Mark?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm with Gio on this about putting out the product. This schematic of a team concept is not working. It hasn't worked for God knows, 15 years now? You know, we don't have contact hitters. Volpe striking out 16 times, Grisham. But it's the same makeup of the team, Like, Toronto's got contact hitters. This isn't working. It's just not working, man. And, yes, we need a new voice with Boone.
Do you have an idea? Do you have an idea of who you would want that voice to be?
Maybe Derek Jeter. Maybe one of the older, you know what I mean?
That's not happening. He's got a lot of family obligations.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no way that Derek Jeter is going to manage the Yankees.
If you told me Don Mattingly, I could see that. But I don't know if that ship has sailed. I have no idea. But I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not advocating for it. But then again, I'm not a Yankee fan. And I know that Yankee fans are frustrated. All the guys in my life that are Yankee fans are frustrated. They know that we have the voice. We have the power of the microphone in front of us. But I'm not advocating for that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I would not be opposed to it. I'm not going to advocate for it, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think Aaron Boone is just as good of a manager as most of them. I just think they don't have as much of an impact. I really think the whole thesis statement of what I have today is, how are the Yankees looking at these losses? Are they looking at it like, man, you know, if we didn't make an error here, or Max Fried would have pitched just a little bit better, or, you know, all these excuses that they have, or they're saying, like, in the Dodgers series last year, man, if Aaron Judge didn't drop the ball, or Gerrit Cole got over there to cover first base, we didn't have that issue.
Well, see, that's the point. Like, Gerrit Cole did not cover first base.
Right, right.
How does your $30 million pitcher not cover first base?
Right. So, like, are they saying that, or are they saying what I'm saying, which is that, yeah, we're right there, but it really kind of feels like we're really far away. Like, it's a big deal. Like, if you've gotten up to Mount Everest base camp, but it's a long way up to the top.
You know, it's amazing to me. We're sitting here, and we got these two football teams that, you know, basically are brutal right now. We got a football game tonight with a team that basically is going out there with a very, very average group of wide receivers to play against the Philadelphia
Eagles. Yeah, I mean, we know they suck, and we talk about how they suck.
But, like, when you compare all these other teams around here, and I know the Yankee fan wants a championship. We all want it. I want a championship with my hockey team. That's why I was so upset with the way that they played in Game 1 in front of their home fans in their new jerseys. You know, I understand that the Yankee fan wants excellence. They deserve excellence because they sell out that stadium all the time. The amount of money that Yankee fans must spend throughout the season has got to be ungodly.
Oh, of course.
It's got to be ungodly.
Yeah.
I mean, what is an average, what would you say an average Yankee fan who goes to, let's say, I don't know, 20 games a year?
I can't even. It's a large number. We know it's expensive. We know that people spend a lot of money and support their team. I understand all that. But
But that's why the Yankee fan is so irritated.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're also irritated because there's several generations that have seen dynasties.
I know. But they also have to try to figure out what streaming network is the game being played on tonight. So I have to buy that as well. And they got to buy this, and they got to go. You know, I mean, I understand their angst with all of this. But I also want them to take a step back and be realistic and understand how hard it is to do what they're being asked to do. It's not like even the Dodgers for years spent all this money and finally won a World Series last year. And there's a good chance they may not win one this year.
Yes, but they did win one. Where this, you know, that's, I mean, you can't, like, they did, I mean, win
Dave
last
Roberts,
year.
Dave
and
Roberts,
not only did they do it, they beat the Yankees.
How many times has Dave Roberts been just absolutely eviscerated for decisions he's made over the last how many years
sure.
he's been there?
Absolutely, yes.
It's the same situation as Aaron Boone. It's just that they have not won a World Series here.
Yeah, I think
is Aaron Boone, you know, is he Max Fried?
No,
is he Carlos Rodon?
I think the Aaron Boone discussion is silly. It's beyond that. It's really beyond that. Now, if they fire him, whatever.
Was he playing second base last night?
No. I mean, if they fire him, whatever. I mean, but that's not the reason why. It's not close to the reason why that they're underachieving. Or are they underachieving? Or they're just achieving? This is my point. I think they're not underachieving or overachieving. They're just right there every year. And then the Yankee fan, and I hope the organization, is thinking just being right here and very good is not good enough for us. It's just not. We have to be better. And they're going to do the same thing. Minor tweak here, minor tweak there. They're going to be a very good team. But chances are they're going to run into a team in the American League playoffs. Now, we even said it, too. Like, there was a cakewalk in the American League last year, the World Series, and they ran into a real baseball team. Didn't even look like they could be on the same field with them.
Well, you know, that real baseball team this year was one of the worst baseball teams last year.
No, I'm talking about last year with the cakewalk to the World Series, and
then
they ran
into
the Dodgers.
Yes.
Yeah, this year is not a cakewalk in the American League, and they don't even get to the championship series. So it's tough. And that's exactly what I said. It's one of the harder things to evaluate in New York sports because you can make a solid point on both sides. But it's what do the Yankee organization, what are they happy with? Are they happy with this or not?
I would just like to know, instead of saying, let's just blow it up, who are the people that are the alternatives?
Well, Hal Steinbrenner's got to figure that out. We don't know.
So when a fan calls up and says, get rid of this guy.
But they don't need to know. But what they see is, like, What they see is a team that they think should be better, and it's the same thing over and over and over again, and they lose the same way to the same type of teams. So they're, you know, Max in Staten Island doesn't know the young executive coming up in Major League Baseball. He just wants a change. Like, he knows these guys haven't gotten him a World Series. Hal Steinbrenner, you go find that guy. Like, I'm doing my job. I'm paying through my ass to go see this team. You do your job and find the next guy who's going to give us a championship.
Just think about this for a second. This is, you know, it's not a success if you don't win the World Series. I understand that. But this is a team that pretty much goes to the playoffs every single year, except for a year or two hiccup every now and again. And they are successful in the overall grand picture of things and the amount of games that they've won. And it is a very, very hard job. We are here, or fans are here today and will be throughout this offseason, criticizing the decisions that are made by both the GM and the and ownership, of course, and, of course, the manager. And they're winning. So who in their right mind is going to want to step into this kind of environment?
You're telling me there's people out there that have been baseball their whole lives and don't want to be the general manager of the New York Yankees?
They could be the general manager of the New York Yankees, and then 2 years later, you know, they'll be picked up off the scrap heap.
Well, maybe. You know, maybe they come in. I mean,
and you want to know why? Because this team is not going to overpay for anybody because they don't have to.
They overpaid for Max Fried. They gave him 11 years.
No, I'm talking about from a management standpoint.
Oh, yeah, of course. They'll never do that.
They're not going to overpay anybody, like, you know, to come in here and replace Brian Cashman. They're just not going to do it. Brian Cashman's been here a long time. He's well compensated. He has a contract extension as well. And Hal Steinbrenner really likes and trusts him for whatever reason. You know, the reasons are between those two men. That's why, you know, speaking about that part of it, it's not going to happen.
I don't believe it will either. I just, when a Yankee fan's asking, you know, what are the issues and how is it going to change? It won't change. Unless Brian Cashman changes his mentality on what wins in Major League Baseball.
Well, I mean, you know, pitching wins. So he went out and got, you know, Devin Williams and Max Fried and Bednar.
But one thing we've learned.
Defense wins.
On.
So he went out
one thing,
and got McMahon, Buchez.
Wait. One thing we've learned in recent Major League Baseball when it comes to what wins is timely hitting and a long lineup win beats good pitching. The good pitching beating good hitting thing doesn't happen as much anymore. It's these big lineups and these big guys that are constantly had their throat on, I mean, their foot on your throat, and it's just hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting. That's what it was. That's how the Dodgers beat the Mets last year. That's how the Dodgers beat the Yankees. That's how, you know, the Philadelphia Phillies went and won the division this year. It's not a pitching and defense is not necessarily the thing anymore. It's not 1965.
Right. So he didn't spend $765 million on Juan Soto. What did he do? He turned around, brought in one of the top left-handed pitchers in baseball, brought in a terrific baseball player in Cody Bellinger, who fits the team perfectly, has Trent Grisham from the Juan Soto trade, who had a breakout year this year, brings up Ben Rice, who also has a breakout year this year, moves Jazz Chisholm over to second when Jazz is complaining about not wanting to play third.
You know
makes
how this
trade for
you know how this story ends.
I know
they get their ass kicked by the Blue Jays in the ALDS.
I'm just fast forwarding through it. I'm not sitting here. The guy is sitting on his hands, not doing anything. He's doing something. He's trying to make moves.
But no one's saying he's not doing anything.
You know how Dan from Carteret makes moves.
Yeah,
he makes moves. Brian Cashman makes moves. He's making 100 moves a year.
Has a caller called up and said that Brian Cashman doesn't do anything with the organization, or they're saying that Brian Cashman isn't doing enough and doing the right things with the organization? No one's saying he's not making moves or not trying. There's lots of guys that try. I could try to run a marathon. I'm not going to do it.
I think the thing that you said early on this morning when we opened up and you were talking about, and I think A-Rod was talking about it last night, the construction of the lineup. And you said that, you know, here you have this Giancarlo Stanton figure that just kind of jams up the whole thing. Because you can't pay a guy that much money and not have him in the lineup when he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the issues for sure. Yeah. When you talk about, you know, you said we got the A-Rods, like they got five DHs. I mean, it's a bit of an issue. Plus, they're still obsessed with the launch angle stuff. Like, even say what you want about Clint Frazier and if he's got an axe to grind with the organization too. But it's like,
all these ex-players have an axe to grind.
Well, I mean, maybe that says something. Maybe.
Maybe, does that tell you anything?
I don't know. When they came here and when they were here, they were so proud to wear the pinstripes. And when they're not out of, when they're out of here, all of a sudden it becomes an issue?
Well, I mean, Derek Jeter and the organization have some sort of weird thing going on. I think we've understood that. That's one of the greatest players in their history. So I don't know whose fault that is, that the relationship isn't perfect. At least he comes back for a lot of things. But, yeah, I'm not so sure. That's a tough one.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
So listen, obviously there's an emotion that everybody has, and Yankee fans are angry. Another early exit, tons of strikeouts, an untimely error, stuff we've seen way too often. But that's the obvious stuff. To me, I'm going to simplify it, and anger should not really be the emotion. That should dissipate by now. It should be fear. Because I don't believe that the Yankees, as they huddle and they plot out the future, I don't believe that they're even remotely alarmed about not being good enough to win a World Series. I believe the conversation right now, as they sit around, and maybe it's not today, but certainly in the next couple of days here, as they reconvene and they start to strategize who's available, who's Kuka leave, all the things we got to do, I don't think there's anybody that's got any juice in that building that's going to look up or stand up and say, you know what? Hey, we're not doing it the right way. We've got to explore something else. It's going to be the same stuff. It's going to be the same stuff.
Well, if that's the case, then why would we expect a different result?
We wouldn't. That's my point. Yeah, and why wouldn't it be the case? Because we've had these conversations for years
now. I know.
Now.
That's, it's the same thing. So rinse, repeat. Fire Cashman, fire Boone. That's what everybody says. Yep. And then in season, they win 90-plus games. And it's like, oh, here we go. We have a chance. And then they fail in the postseason. And then it's fire Cashman, fire Boone. They don't. And then they win 90-plus games into the postseason. Like, it's every year.
I know.
It's the same thing.
I know.
And then when they miss the postseason, you would think, okay, well, maybe now this is a chance to where they see that it's not as rosy as they think. And they still don't do anything.
Nothing.
Like, they've had opportunities to make a change. And I said this, I keep referencing it because it's all I could do is reference the past. In 2021, when the Yankees for the first time were struggling in the regular season, pre-Anthony Rizzo, Joey Gallo trade, I said that's when I would make a change because prior to that point, it was always success in the regular season to the highest of levels, fail in the postseason because the offense didn't do what they did in the regular season. And then that year, to me, wasn't good enough. They barely made the playoffs, but they did make it, and they lost in the wild card game. I would have made a change. 2022, they come out, they look like the 98 Yankees. That's a comparison. 98 Yankees, we all knew that it was not real, but that was the comparison. Then they get there, and then they get to the LCS, even though they weren't even on the same stratosphere as
JV against Houston.
Okay, but they can push back and say, well, we got to the ALCS.
Which is what they said.
Yeah, exactly.
They were a step away from the World Series.
Then they miss the postseason in 2023. Like, there's plenty of evidence where even we talk about, well, the Yankees, their history of making the playoffs every year. There's evidence in those few years, 2021, 2022, 2023, where they just weren't good enough in three consecutive years. Then they went out there and got Juan Soto. And even then, they weren't a good enough team. And to me, the reason that they got there was the Judge-Soto historic combo, plus the other teams weren't any good. Mm-hmm. The Royals, the Guardians, and not on the level of the Blue Jays or even the Mariners or even maybe Tigers this year. Like, the AL competition
has raised. Yep.
And now this year, the Yankees, you could argue, are better. Boone himself said that they're better since he's been here, 2018, a long time, said that they're better, and yet they got bounced in the second round by a team who finished in last place a year ago in really what was a non-competitive series.
Listen, you use the term rinse and repeat, and that's what they're doing. Like, it's one thing to lose and have, you know, conversations at the end of a season like, hey, what happened? Where do we come up short? Not only do they lose early, they lose the same way.
Remember when we first got paired together? It was the summer of 2023.
Yeah.
And both the
Judge was out at this point, right? Judge, was he back? Did he get back at this point?
We did have some bet where he was going to come back and hit homer, so he might have been out.
Oh, that's right.
That was like one of our
first bets.
Yeah, I won
that one.
But
that
was when the Mets were trading Verlander and Scherzer, and I came in with the bag over my head with the Mets.
One of my favorite shows, Sal.
Exactly.
That was hysterical.
And you were saying that you wanted the Yankees to bleed out.
Bingo.
And the reason for that is because you thought that if they bled out, changes would be made because what they were doing wasn't leading to success.
Yep.
They did bleed out. They didn't make any changes. And here we are years later with the same thing.
I know. I mean, listen, I don't think I'm alone. I think maybe I've read this a little bit earlier than a lot of Yankee fans here, but I've been saying this for a long time. I mean, just go and search Google. I mean, you know, whether it's the Cashman thing, the right to rebuild, bleed out. It's so obvious that they just don't have enough guys who could put the ball in play, run the bags. Again, better this year for sure. That's why I was more optimistic this year, but still not good enough, period.
I was going to say better, but really, was it? Like, a lot of the talk was, well, nobody else is really that great either. And they are the Yankees, and they mashed their way to overcome some of those other things. Yes, it was better than what it was for the majority of the last several seasons. Like, they did get better defensively and did clean up certain things, but
you know what it was too, Sal? The starting pitching excited me. Yeah. Now, I misread Rodon in the biggest spot.
And who thought Fried wouldn't do any?
I know. Then nobody. If your best pitcher doesn't pitch well, then nobody's going to play well. Understood. But I looked at the staff. I'm like, okay, now that you always had a Tanaka or a CC, you always had one guy, maybe, obviously Cole when he was healthy. But, you know, this team for a while was trotting out multiple guys who can shut you down.
Right.
And we all know the names, and they haven't had that. That's why I say, to me, it's the best roster since 09, but it's still not good enough.
Understood. And you could also look at the lineup and say, well, look at how deep they are because everybody's a threat to hit a home run. They have how many, 20 home run hitters, 30 home run hitters. But yet, again, the biggest bugaboo, the defense has come and gone. The sloppiness has come and gone. For the most part, like, they tighten that up. Again, I know Jazz made the big error. That's not why they lost the series, where you could point to last year and say at some point it was going to catch up with them, and it did in the World Series. The one thing that has happened consistently for years, going back to 2017, has been that their regular season offense does not match the offensive levels in the postseason. That's been them. Even the pitching got beat up in Toronto. That's not why they lost this series. They lost because they didn't hit.
Well, that's the first thing that I said to start the show. If you guys missed it, check out the Free Odyssey app. Like, show me a team that looks one way for most of the season, if not the entire season. I know there's peaks and valleys over 162, but in totality, whether you're a speed team, a power team, a low strikeout team, a high strike, whatever it is, they look one way basically for 5 or 6 months, and then every time they get bounced in October, Astros, Dodgers, Blue Jays, they look like a completely different team. I'm challenging to show me the team that flips that crazily. There is no, but I'm not saying like for 1 year, but this is every season.
I know, from in regular season to the postseason, while it's different. It's the organization philosophy.
They're not changing anything. They're not changing anything.
Right, but until they do, it's just going to be, well, roll the dice and hope that 1 year they break through. Lawrence is in Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, guys. Thanks for getting me on. if the Yankees cannot win a World Series with Aaron Judge, it's going to be criminal for baseball. He is not just like a good player. He's like, you know, all time. I just can't believe that they're not going to consider making a change. He's 33 years old. How long do you really think your window is? You know what I mean? Seriously, yeah. You got 2 years. I give you 2 years. And Cashman, yeah, he won 4 World Series, and three of them were in a row, though. And while that's even harder, when you do it with a really good team, is it harder when you already have a team assembled to win 3 in a row? It's been years. This is, if you win 4 World Series, that's good. But when you're putting the team on the longest drought of being in a championship, winning a championship, what does it not even out? I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Cashman, Lawrence, will be the first to tell you, and thank you for the call, that the Yankees should have won a World Series in 2017, and they were robbed by the cheating Astros. That's always his pushback when we say, well, you haven't won a World Series since 2009. It's, yeah, but 2017 was our year. Which, by the way, you did it with a manager that you couldn't wait to get out of town with Joe Girardi. Like Cashman likes to reference 2017. That was our year to win a championship. You had already made the decision on moving on from Joe Girardi. So maybe he did you a favor by not winning the championship. But anyway, point is, you didn't win it, whether they cheated or not, and there were no guarantees you were going to win in the World Series. And the facts are, this is the longest drought that the Yankees have had in their history in between titles, and nothing has changed. And they think they're better than they are. Whether it's Dominguez, Volpe, the offense in the postseason, their strategy, the all-or-nothing like, they think they're better than they are. They believe the regular season success is proof of that, and that it's just been bad luck in the postseason.
And that's why they're wrong. And that's why they're not going to win again until somebody steps up and says, we got to change this. And that somebody's going to have to be Hal, because he's got the hammer. I don't think it happens. Hey, by the way, it's about, like, you know, Judge and what Lawrence said about how sad it will be, or criminal, whatever word to use, for Judge not to win a World Series. Yeah. Well, hey, guys, that's baseball. And you've got a long list, whether it's Ted Williams, whether it's Griffey Jr., whether it's Artie Banks, whether it's Bonds, whether it's Yaz, whether it's Carew, whether it's Cobb, whether it's the great Tony Gwynn, rest in peace. I mean, there are some titans of the game that not only didn't win, Artie Banks never even got to the World Series. And you don't really see that quite as much in the NBA, because you can will yourself. I mean, Ewing doesn't have one, but yeah. Most of the gray eye doesn't have one. But most of the all-time great players, they've got one or they've got two. Baseball's different. It's and Boone said that last night. He was very honest, and I appreciated this. He said, listen, it hurts. It's harsh. It's baseball, and it wasn't like an excuse, like, oh, it's hard or it's random. It's just like, sometimes it's cruel. And Boone was crushed last night, you could tell.
I genuinely felt bad for Boone and Judge last night.
No question.
Nobody else, and I know other people played hard and whatever, but specifically Judge, who played his ass off in the postseason and did all he could. You know, if he didn't have a good postseason, we'd probably be saying the same thing, where, well, look, it's another postseason where Judge dominated the regular season, didn't dominate in the postseason. Is that the reason why they didn't win? Who knows? But there was a drop-off. There was not the drop-off. This was finally the year where start to finish of the postseason, although it was way too short, there was no drop-off. He was Aaron Judge, the beast, in the postseason. So I felt badly for him, and I felt horribly for Boone, who just, you know, he has less control of it than the players do. He loves this team more than anybody. He wears it more than anybody. He's as great a competitor as there is, even from a manager's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He wants it. He believed in this team, maybe even to a fault, where he's got a little bit of a soft spot or a blind spot for certain aspects of it. But he truly believed this was the best team that he had, and believed that they had a chance to beat the Blue Jays, and yet his team got punked and sent home way too soon. So I felt bad for both Boone and Judge.
I'm going to have a soft spot for the kid forever as long as he's here. I also felt really bad for Volpe, because, I mean, when you're getting booed that vociferously, and he deserved it.
Different kind of feel bad.
It's a different kind of feel bad. There's no question. Like, is he going to be back feel bad? Is he going to have to compete for a job? Like, what is he thinking? I'm just trying to put myself in his shoes.
All right. Well, then remember, go home to his beautiful girlfriend.
That's true. The mood changed pretty quick here. She's a stunner. I'm with you, man. He's doing well there. That's a compliment. I'm not trying to sound like a weird old guy here. But I just imagine being and you know, I love these stories. A local kid who's a high school star, first round pick of the Yankees. Your dad's a massive Yankee fan. Bust your ass. It's not because he's not a hard worker, and you can't even make contact. I can't imagine those walks back to the dugout for Volpe.
I felt bad for him in a different way. You're right. Larry is calling from Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, Larry?
Hey, how we doing, guys? Another brutal, brutal loss. Tough night. This is going to be probably an unpopular opinion, but you talk about roster construction. A-Rod talked about it. We've talked about it. I called last year and talked about it with you guys.
Right.
okay?
I think A-Rod got it from us, as a matter of fact. We've been talking about it for a year and a half.
I think, and BT, I think it starts with Stanton. And listen, I love the guy. And when they bring him back years from now, I'll be the first one cheering for him. He's owned it. He's been big. But the nucleus behind the poor roster construction, it starts with Stanton. If you can trade him where you can get something for him now, 2-3 years ago, you couldn't. Nobody would touch him. Now, with what he's done, you can trade him, okay? You move on from him. He misses half the year anyway.
You don't got to tell anybody. Larry, you know, we've been talking about that for years.
I know. The pieces fall into place, though. Ben Rice can be the full-time DH because he doesn't have a position.
Okay.
You bring back Bellinger, which... They're going to want to do anyway. You put him at first base. Now you got a real infield because he can play first too.
I don't know if I like wasting Bellinger. I like that he's flexible.
Yeah,
but I love him in the outfield. But anyway, you could put him a little bit outfield and first. Go ahead, keep going.
But you got two young kids coming. You can either make the decision to go with the two kids in the outfield, Dominguez and Jones, or you make a run at Tucker and you let Caballero take that job at short. And the only person battling Caballero is Lombard.
Lombard. Yeah, that's interesting. Larry, I think you bring up...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. You make some really, really good points.
I know, but we're too much relying on the young guys again. I know you're going to have to some extent.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's talk through it for a second. Yeah. So, and I'm with you. I love Bellinger in the outfield. I mean, he is just a beast out there.
I feel like you're wasting
there.
Him at first. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. He is a plus-plus outfield defender. He'd also be a plus-plus defensive first baseman. Now, is it easier to find an outfielder or a first baseman? I don't know, but I don't want Grisham on the team next year. I don't want him.
All right, so get
Grisham off the Bellinger in center.
Bingo. Okay, now we're talking.
Or you have Jones, and I don't know if this would work. You have Jones and Dominguez battle it out in spring training.
Right.
The winner of that, you know...
Stays up and plays every day.
Yeah, but I can't have Dominguez play left field. And then that might, if he's up for the task, and I don't know if he will be, Bellinger in left, maybe Dominguez or Jones in center.
Does Jones play center?
He profiles as a center. He plays a ton.
We know Dominguez. Like, I know you
he's not
want
left fielder.
I know you want him in center. He's...
Well, you know what? I'm not going to stand on the desk and say, oh, that's scream and shout, he's a center fielder, but I do know he's not a left fielder.
But here's in part of the problem. Which is why, like, you can't have Ben Rice, who can't do anything else but DH, and Dominguez, who can't be in the outfield.
But I don't agree that he can't be a center field. I at least want the answer.
I think they're telling you the answer by having him play left and not play center field.
Or were in their minds, is Grisham so superior defensively that it was tough to justify, even if they thought that Dominguez could be good or solid in center, he'll never be Grisham. So while you have Grisham, run Grisham out in center. I don't know the answer, but it's possible.
I would try to trade Dominguez. Now, again, I don't know what the value is.
Oh, I'm okay if they trade. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying I wouldn't.
Just to try to clean up some of the...
He ain't no touch of us,
to,
for sure.
To me, Bellinger's got to be back. That's for number one.
Definitely.
You put him in center field, Judge is in right.
Yep.
And then you can start to build it out from there. You want to give Spencer Jones a look? Sure, I guess. But what would give me confidence that anybody that the... Like, we've heard about Volpe. We've heard about Dominguez. Now we're hearing about Spencer Jones. We hear about Lombard. I don't know. I'm not ready to write them in. Now, you could live with one or two, and you hope that it's going to be successful.
Uh-huh.
And maybe there's reason to believe that it would, but we've also seen a flop. I believe that Dominguez was going to be far better than what he was this year. I also thought Volpe was going to be better. It's been 3 years, and he got significantly worse. There's been massive regression. Austin Wells, same thing. So there are reasons to question some of the young players.
100%. I mean, we're questioning pretty much everything with the Yankees
right now.
Would
you bring Jazz back?
I would be open to trading Jazz. I don't think he's a winner.
Okay, well, that's another thing.
I don't think he's a winner.
Me too. But now think about what we're talking about. Maybe trade Dominguez. Maybe trade Jazz. Get rid of Stanton. Like,
that's a lot of moving parts. Listen, it's Bellinger. It's Grisham. It's Goldie. It's Devin Williams. It's Luke Weaver. It's Rosario. I want Bellinger back. Grisham could take a walk. No disrespect. Goldie, get lost. Devin Williams, if he wanted to come back on the cheap and be a setup, whatever, that's fine. Luke Weaver, get lost. Rosario, I'm okay on a cheap deal. I mean, I don't want any of these guys back.
Get lost.
Yeah.
Get lost.
Hit the road, man. I mean, you hit 230, and that was like this season for Grisham was like his Rod Carew season.
Right.
He's usually we talked about this. He's usually 180, 190.
See,
who he is.
I would take him if I'm the Mets, let's say, who desperately need a center fielder and want to, you know, at least maybe start the year.
Mm-hmm.
And look, they signed Jose Siri a year ago. I would take him, assuming that it's going to be a 1 or 2 year deal, max probably 1 year deal, and he's going to hit sixth or seventh,
yeah.
not first.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you have a leadoff hitter in Lindor.
Yeah, right.
You got you to it. Hopefully Pete's back. No, and by the way, Pete had a Bander baby today.
Congratulations to the Alonzo
crew.
Yeah. yeah.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and maybe like the Yankees, I don't think it's a good fit. But in that circumstance, if you just needed the center fielder and he's batting in the bottom part of the order.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, then you can live with that.
I agree with that.
Because there are no good center fielders. Like, look around the league.
Dude, if there's a good center fielder, they're not going to let him lead the building.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to get a good contract. He's going to stay. He's going to be a focal point. And the thing about Stanton, one other elite team, borderline elite team, World Series contender. And again, no disrespect. We all love Big G. We do. We have to say it, but we do. But what other team that's trying to win a championship is rolling out a guy like that who can't run, who can't throw, who can't field? And when he's not hitting home runs, he's useless. I mean, he's in the middle of your order.
And clogs up the spot to maybe use for somebody else, whether it's a better matchup or to get a guy a rest. It's just, yeah.
Construction. That's the problem. And it's been that way for a minute.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We've got the Power Up, which we do every Thursday at 12:40, so we'll have our power rankings as we go around the NFL. Do that in a little while. I do think the biggest, I mean, look, we go around the Yankees, around the diamond, what they would do. I do think the biggest question mark is going to be what they do with Volpe. Like, do you have, there are other issues, and you can say, all right, they're going to bring Bellinger back, sure, whatever. How are you going to configure the outfield? Shortstop is such a huge thing. Volpe's such a young kid and under contract. Like, that's a major decision. For Cashman to be doubling and tripling down on Volpe to where we're at now with Anthony Volpe,
yep.
Like, what do you do with him? There's probably zero trade value, right?
Yeah, he's at his lowest trade.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure somebody would take him, but you're not getting anything of value back.
No, which is why you wouldn't trade him.
Right, because you're giving up a player with potential and under control.
Yeah.
Can you justify running him back out there again to start the year next year?
If he earns it. What I don't think you can justify anymore is having Anthony Volpe show up in Tampa in February as the unquestioned starting shortstop.
Right.
We're past that. Like, there's got to be at least some movement in a direction where, and listen, maybe it's Caballero, who's obviously under control and under,
I mean,
you know, no, I'm saying at least he's on the roster. Yeah. I mean, before
Caballero, I love him coming off the bench. I think that makes you, he's an elite bench player. His speed, his versatility.
I'm not saying it's the answer. I'm not saying Caballero's a starting shortstop on a World Series team. I'm not saying that at all. But, like, even before Caballero got here, there was nothing even remotely viable enough to push Volpe like Caballero theoretically could. So you create a competition. You go old school, and you got to earn it. This is still okay in sports, you know? It's still okay to show up and outperform the other guy. And if you do, then you get to play. And if you don't, then you get to sit. So I really think that at this point, Sal, everything's going to be on the table. And I think, at least with this, the Yankees will be smart enough to know that. Now, they might say we believe in them, and on some levels they probably still do. I do not think under any circumstance that we are sitting here in February and it's Volpe. There's no doubt. Nobody else. That's number one. And I also think that if he looks that way next year, he's in the minors. I think that they would finally do that.
Yeah, I mean, it might be too little too late.
It could be.
At this point. But if your plan is then, all right, we'll still give Volpe a shot,
mm-hmm.
then that means you're not going out and getting a big shortstop.
Unless you want to trade Jazz and punt Volpe over to second
then
get Bichette.
Well, now we're talking.
Now we're
getting to a different realm.
Mm-hmm.
Just hit me, by the way.
Yes.
Who's to say the Yankees maybe couldn't trade for Francisco Lindor? I mean, that's a major, obviously.
I mean, who would you even want? I mean, forget about the money. Suspend the reality, like the roadblocks of money. Who would you even want?
Ben Rice? That's a quick answer.
That's a starting point. Obviously, you're going to have to get more than Ben Rice.
You're taking off the money.
Yeah.
I mean, Lindor, for the Yankees trying to win now with Aaron Judge. Now, again, this is just a total hypothetical.
Imagine if he's my shortstop after all that stuff. Hey, what a lefty hitter, man. Let's go.
Think about it this way, though. So to your point, unless they move him to second, and then that would be a big change because then you'd be moving on from Jazz, which I'm fine with.
Me too.
But that's a big move. McMahon, also under contract.
Two more years, $16 million a year. I'm fine with that. Oh. But you got to get a few more sticks with contact because he's a swing and miss guy and he's going to hit 225.
But that's, so therein lies the problem. Like, you've got guys under contract.
Mm-hmm.
That, not that they're going to be impossible to move, but what do you do with them?
Well,
are we sure? Like, would you rather have McMahon as your third baseman or Bregman?
I mean, of course, I'd rather have Bregman.
Okay, but so then what do you do with McMahon? Just dump him, cut him, whatever. I mean,
can you? I don't think Bregman could play short. Last call, no, I'm not putting him there in a pinch short, like a little weekend series if somebody's banged up. No, he's not playing shortstop at this age every night. I think it's a little overstated. I don't know what they'll do, but I think it's overstated how little flexibility the Yankees have. Think about this. Goldschmidt gone, so you can do whatever you want at first base. You can let Ben Rice work all winter
and
become functional.
They're gonna do.
Me too. You could trade Jazz, and he's not even making massive money. He's going to arbitration. Yeah. I think he's probably going to be in that $13 to $15 million threshold,
and
which
he'll
is
have
good
value.
Yeah, no question. But you can move on from him. Volpe's making peanuts. Now he's got to play better, but the money, so that's not a deterrent. So the urgency's not quite there. Wells is not making a lot of money. You could let Bellinger go if you wanted to. I don't think they do, and I certainly wouldn't. Grisham, goodbye. You're not going to bring him back. Judge is the man.
Maybe sign Real Muto, right-handed hitting catcher, to compliment Wells.
I think he's done as a hitter. Oh, that's different. Okay, that's a little different.
Well, I'm not saying you got to be the everyday catcher, but he's a veteran.
Or let Wells DH as a lefty and let Real Muto catch. He's a better catcher.
Whatever. That's what I'm saying. So just like they need Susan just mentioned it.
The righty stick.
Yeah.
I know they did.
And I would like a high character guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to sign a veteran right-handed catcher. Real Muto's as good as it gets. I know he's not prime Real Muto.
No,
but
he
still
can run a little bit. Yeah. He's got a little pop. Do you think, we could say and we could exchange ideas and this will keep going on. Yeah. And then eventually the Mets will be coming into the conversation about their offseason. So we'll do it all for you. Sal and I'll have a blast with this for the next couple of months. But no matter what we say, do you think that the Yankees are, this is the money question?
I don't. I don't think they're thinking, I think that, I don't know this. I would bet that they're like, no, Jazz, we love Jazz. We're good with Jazz. Oh, we like McMahon at third base, and our defense is going to be better. And we have him for a full year in Yankee Stadium. He'll hit 25, 30 home runs.
Yeah, which he probably will, but he probably still at 220.
I don't know what they're thinking about Volpe, but I would bet that there's no way they're going to trade him because the value is squat right now.
Yep.
They're probably not going to go out and sign a big shortstop. I mean, Dude, I don't know. I think they're thinking maybe Lombard, maybe more Dominguez, maybe Spencer Jones. I think that's the realm that the Yankees are thinking. Bellinger does have to be back. I would assume that that's the case.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but I would not think that it's going to be major change. Why would I think it's going to be major changes when it hasn't been?
That's true. I didn't think it was going to be a big deal, and I didn't in real time. It bothered me. We talked about, maybe not sprinting the first couple of steps, and then Jazz, whatever, before that with the interview with his back turned to the reporters, which was completely amateur hour and childish. But I did not think there was an issue with Boone and Jazz, and I don't really think that there's necessarily an issue, but I got to tell you, I'm watching the press conference last night, post-game, and one thing about Aaron is that he protects his players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes to a fault where people get annoyed at that. where be a little more real. Like, all right, you went 0 for 4, but you didn't have like he just makes it seem sometimes better than it really is. But that's also him insulating and protecting players, which is a strength. But last night when he was talking about Jazz and he was asked about that play, he didn't give him the parachute cord. He said, "You got to make that play. You got to catch the ball."
Good. He's right.
Which tells me, I think that he, for him to say that and kind of go against his usual MO, I think the Yankees could be done with Jazz. Honestly, internally and inwardly, I think they might be fed up. And he's a good player, but I don't think he's incredibly reliable.
He's a talented athlete. He's a talented player.
Yeah, it's maybe a better way to say it. Yeah, I know where you're going.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's bad. Like, we talked about this. We were texting about this last night. Like, he's got electric talent, which is, that's what, wow, look at that speed and look at that skill. To me, I don't know if I'd say good player. I would say a losing player with not the right mindset. I don't even care about the yawning nonsense, but just the whole total package. He's a little bit of a better version of Gleyber Torres to me as far as the talent goes, 30 homers, 30 steals. Gleyber didn't have – offensively, Gleyber I would trust as a better player.
Yeah.
But just overall, Jazz, more athletic, more exciting player to watch. I think those similar vein to Gleyber, where I just look at him as a player that's not – all there.
The difference, though, with Gleyber versus Jazz, and this is where the evaluation gets a little tough, is that Jazz flies, man.
That's what I'm saying.
The stress that he puts on defense and when he's locked in. I'm going to give you an old name from the Knicks, and I'm going to give you a comparison here, and very similar. And it's ironic because the player I'm about to mention, number one, I love, and he went on to do good things and became a winner. But when he was here, he was sloppy, even though he was fun. To me, Jazz is a young Jamal Crawford. Jazz out and Jamal.
I never loved Crawford. I mean,
that's kind of what I'm saying. He was fun, but he didn't win. To your point, you said Jazz not a winner. Yeah. I don't disagree. Jamal was always like yo-yoing with the showboat dribble and jacking up 20-something shots.
Highly skilled.
He'd get some points, but he'd shoot 41% overall, 32% from downtown. In a lot of ways, so like when Jamal would look good, he would look amazing. When Jazz looks good, Jazz looks amazing. What about the other times when you just got to make the basic play? I don't trust him.
Or put the bat on the ball in a big spot, all right? Talking Yankees post-mortem here as their season ended far too soon last night. A loss at home in Game 4 to the better team in the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm surprised that was the case. I was proven incorrect. And to help us break it down even further, we welcome in the legendary voice of the New York Yankees, one of my favorite people ever, Susan Waldman. Susan, how are you after last night's tough defeat?
I'm fine. And you know what's really interesting about this? And I'm listening to people talk about the surprise. If you're surprised that the Toronto Blue Jays took it to the New York Yankees, you haven't been paying attention. Because just think back to July when this team did exactly the same thing at the Rogers Center. They are totally balanced. They found a way to get through their pitching. Their pitching has been their Achilles heel. They found a way to fix that, at least for this series. And, a lot of the things that came down to what we've talked about through the year. I mean, mistakes. Jazz Chisholm, I know he feels terrible, but there it was. You make a mistake in this kind of game and you will probably lose.
The one thing, Susan, that I am personally surprised at, forget about even Fried and Rodon, that could happen to the best of them, although I was a little surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But you just mentioned it. I thought the Yankees would hit. I knew the Blue Jays had a better lineup than Boston. I am shocked that the Yankees didn't hit enough, especially in a bullpen game.
Well, here's something that when I was listening to John Schneider and a lot of the guys, I spent a lot of time, around there to find out what they were doing. Now, what they did was set up their pitching to match up with the lineup. This was all planned. This guy's coming in, Eric Lauer, you're getting up. And they had it all, and he sent a text to Pete Walker, the pitching coach, and the assistant guys, and said, get ready, we're going to have some fun tonight. And they had it planned. They didn't just say, oh, Judge is getting up, let's do this. It was planned.
Yeah.
And so but of course, you all also have to execute. I actually thought, oh, a bullpen game. And then I found out what they were actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, whoa, this isn't going to be as easy as, and they didn't even have to use Yasevich, who was out there, Yasevich, who was sitting there the whole time.
Sure.
That would have been interesting too. But you talk about Fried and Rodon. If they do not lose three games to the Miami Marlins and don't blow a couple of games that they have that we were all saying, oh, well. Well, it wasn't oh, well, because it cost them the division, which meant that Luis Gil had to go and pitch game one and not Max Fried.
Well, Susan, so very smart take on what Schneider did, how it was planned out. That can't get overlooked. He hit the right buttons at his team. His team rewarded him. Was there more Boone could have done last night?
With the way they play and the way they've played all year, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, you've got some holes in this lineup. You had terrible holes in this lineup, and that comes from, I mean, Grisham had a great year with the home runs and all that. There was really never a leadoff hitter in this. Now, look what Toronto did, and I don't want to say they're not the best team of all time. This was the team that I was worried about. I thought if they played anybody else, they'd get through it and get to the World Series. I was worried about them, and it turned out to be true just because of the way they play. Look at their no names that, and I'm saying they're not no names now because the name of Ernie Clement, well, I'll remember all the time now. But those guys contributed every single time. John Schneider, the way he ran this team, and don't forget, this was a few years ago when that team was like this team, home run or nothing. And they've turned that around. Mattingly had a hand in that. All kinds of people had a hand in that. But everyone in this lineup on Toronto had at least something to do with one win over this series. Every single one of them. And the person that you feared the most was the one who didn't get anything done, and that was George Springer. But yeah, Everybody else did.
Yeah, and Bichette didn't even play. I mean, it's they're set up well right here. You know, listen, it's been like this for years. People call, and I don't think it's right, but people do it. Fire Boone, fire Cam. Okay. You know, you've heard it a million times. But there's got to be a point, Susan, where there's an internal checkpoint for the Yankees as to how they build out rosters, what they teach philosophically. Will this facilitate some sort of real change?
They didn't last year when they did the, was it 2 years ago when they did the supposed audit, when they called in another analytics department to see if they were doing things right, and they decided they were doing things great. You know, they believe in the way they're playing, and that sounds like it's not an excuse, it's just the reality. And all these people that are saying Aaron Boone is not the problem here, he really is not. And if they fired him this minute, they would bring in somebody just like him.
Yep.
Because they believe that the manager is the conduit between the front office and the players. And most organizations work like that. But if you're going to do that, you have to have better roster construction. And you have, we're talking about this. But look at the beginning. When was the first time I was on to say, why are there three left-handed catchers on this team?
Right.
April? Why is there no third baseman on this team? There was literally not a third baseman on the team when the team started. Yes, Oswaldo Cabrera, yes.
Right.
But that was, he's a utility guy.
How many DHs, all of that stuff? We heard A-Rod referencing that last night as well on his pregame show or postgame show with Fox. So with that being said, Susan, it sounds like you don't expect significant changes in the front office. Okay. What about significant changes to the look of the actual roster?
I would say, well, they're going to have a change. I mean, you look at what is there. They're going to have to decide, is Ben Rice a first baseman? Are you going to go forward with, I know he's going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to go forward with Ben Rice as your first baseman?
I think he's terrible.
Yeah, first base. He'd be my DH myself.
Yep.
Well, you have a DH.
Yep.
You have a. That's what Alex was talking about yesterday. You look at it. Can you get a right-handed catcher? Maybe. Can we get somebody that is Austin Wells your catcher? If he is, can you get maybe a right-handed backup so there's a little balance here?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do about left field? Is Jason Dominguez going to play or is he not going to play? How many years is this going to go on?
All right, and then Spencer Jones going to be next.
And conundrum is yep. What?
Spencer Jones next, all the young guys, like that's going to be, Volpe has failed, and I think in part because of the organization, Dominguez, you mentioned him, Spencer Jones next, like it's been the same thing, Susan, year after year.
Well, but here's what, you just said Volpe has failed. Do you think that they think he's failed?
It doesn't sound like it.
No, but that's a problem.
Is it, or is he having a bad year? I mean, they're going to have to decide this. I really think this. Now, do you sign Clay Bellinger, or now I'm hearing Kyle Tucker? The Yankees, by the way, about signing, I don't ever think I remember a time when the New York Yankees did not get a player they wanted, except maybe the Japanese guys who didn't want to come to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a time that Yankees have been outbid by somebody that they wanted?
Soto.
You know, and they really didn't get. Well, but that was another thing. Once we got to the mother and the clothes option, sometimes you go a little too far. But that was, not having Soto was not the problem.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny.
He has nothing to do with this.
I'm with you on that. I think a lot of people jump into it, but the reality is you're right. All right. Now, quickly for Soto, we use his name. When the Yankees made the last down the World Series, it was pretty clear he had no emotional connection to the Yankees, and we didn't know what was going to happen, and then we found out. I feel like Bellinger could be a little different. His dad played here. He seemed to kind of tap into the emotion of being a Yankee. I think he loves it here, and I think he's a perfect fit. They've got to feel the same way. They have to, right?
I don't know. He's going to be what, 34 years old? I don't know. Is the analytics department going to say in the month of May in 2006 he's not going to be the same? I don't know what they're going to do. Does he want to be here? You bet he does. He loves it here. He loves everything. The connection between his dad was so real, it was palpable. Opening day, he kept saying, you know, just one more day and it all comes around. He loves it here. And by the way, he's one of these players. He is a manager's dream. Anything you want. I mean, he would have caught if they asked him to. You know, Aaron Boone would say, can you play next Tuesday? Can you play first day? Sure, whatever you want. You know, there's high maintenance and low maintenance. He's no maintenance at all. Mm. And he really was terrific. And I think this heel was bothering him more than he let on. Because he did not look the same after he hurt his heel.
We saw A-Rod again say it last night. There were reports from Andy Martino of SNY last week saying that Boone is making the in-game decisions. A-Rod says otherwise. This is more front office. Jeter said it last night in the postgame, too. He doesn't think that Boone's making these decisions. I'll ask you, Susan, who's in touch with it more than anybody else. You've been around it forever, and you're there every day. Who is making those decisions in-game?
Okay, you're not going to like this because it's. But people think that Aaron Boone is doing what they tell him to do. He is in lockstep with him. I don't understand why nobody understands this. He believes everything they believe. They go over a plan that they think this will happen, this will happen, and this will happen. If it doesn't happen, Boone makes the decision of who can come out. But don't think that he disagrees with them. I mean, I don't think anybody gets that concept. Mm-hmm. When he had his interview here, one of the things that they did was make out lineups, and the analytics did it, and he did it, and he did it for a long time. He matched them all the time. He thinks just like this. And what do they think they do? That somebody calls down from Cashman Suite, mm-hmm. and there's a phone in the dugout that says, bring in this guy?
No.
These in-game, they're his. But the plan is that whole group. It's a group. Mm-hmm. It's not somebody sitting upstairs and coming down. It's together. And anybody thinks that Aaron Boone doesn't agree with them,
mm-hmm.
that's why he got this job.
Right.
Yep.
You know, he believes in all this. If you think back to when he was on ESPN, he was always bringing up this weird analytic stuff. Back then, it was weird analytic stuff.
Think back.
He was.
Yep.
He was really out there. And sometimes you'd watch him and you think, and we didn't know what that was back then. That's a long time ago.
It was. Oh, man.
You say, what is he talking about?
Okay.
And so
Okay. So the three of us are on the same page. I think it is just abjectly disrespectful the way people belittle or position Boone. I think it's inaccurate, and
I agree with you.
Okay. So we all believe that. But I want to go back to something you said about him being in complete agreement with the front office or the analytics. I'm of the mindset, Susan, that disagreement sometimes is healthy. That disagreement can spur debate or a new philosophy or a new thought. I don't want 10 people saying, yep, and I'm not saying it goes like this, but yep, I agree. No, I want somebody to stand up and say, hey, we've been doing this for a couple of years. This isn't working. I wouldn't mind that.
Well, I think a lot of people wouldn't mind that. And I'm not in on those meetings, but obviously not a lot has changed. But it was. If you look at what Brian Cashman and who Brian Cashman brought in here and the way they and what he did at the deadline. You need a third baseman? He went and got a third baseman. You need to overhaul the bullpen? He went and overhauled the bullpen. It should have worked. It did not. There are reasons, I think, for that, because you have to – You do have to understand people, and I'm not quite sure that that's part of the equation anymore. Mm. But that's neither here nor there. But he did everything. I think Brian Cashman did everything he could to fix this roster. The roster was, at the beginning, was the problem. And if you spend all year trying to fix it, you know, then it leads to these kinds of things. It's not. I think if they had lost to the Red Sox, which was clearly an inferior team, this would have been devastating. The Blue Jays are good. I mean, they are really good. And what they have done with their lineup and how they mix and match, their problem is their bullpen. But that, you know, pitching is a whole other thing. You can't always develop pitching. And most of those kids that we saw, Little and Fisher and Fluharty, they're all 5 years old. So they will get better as it goes on, but they know what they're doing there. It's the way they use their roster that I think is different from here. I mean, Ahmed Rosario was brought in to hit left-handers, which he does. So he only played when there's a left-hander? I mean, he's a good player. Mm-hmm. Every time he played, he did something. The roster itself did not lead to the kind of games that the Toronto Blue Jays had.
So it's been 16 years, Susan, since the Yankees have won a World Series. Wow. It is the longest drought between championships in their history. How would you fix their issues?
Well, I am not, I'm a different kind of person. I mean, I know information is great. I don't make decisions on the past does not equal the future to me. Information is absolutely great, but there has to be some kind of more inclusive kind of way to do this. Is it the player's fault? Is it their fault? You got to look at who's here. Jazz Chisholm, I mean, he's exciting. He loves it here. He tries to play. Is that the kind of person that you want there? Is you have to decide about Volpe. What is he? Is this a bad year? Are we going to go through this every year with somebody having a competition with Anthony Volpe until George Lombard gets here? And then what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
They've got some decisions. Are they going to go with Spencer Jones next year? Give him a shot?
Why would that be different from the shot they really didn't give Jason Dominguez? Why would they treat him differently? They don't really give Dominguez any runway.
Well, because he couldn't play left field. You do have to be able to do it. I don't know if he can hit. He can't hit right-handed yet.
Yep.
He was supposed to be a switch hitting. I mean, he's still 23. I don't know what you do.
And Susan, could you help me out with my partner here? Because he keeps saying he wants Dominguez in center field. Can you tell him Dominguez can't play center field or they don't want him in center field?
He's not Joe DiMaggio out there. I know they keep saying that, you know, he was a center fielder. No, he's not. No, you don't want to see that.
He's not a left fielder, so I just get rid of him at this point.
I understand that. So now I think that's one of the people that Alex was saying is another DH. That's why I said there were five of them.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to be a switch hitting DH or left fielder, and he never hit right-handed because they did not give him a runway. They tried.
Yeah.
They really did. I think they've worked with him. I think what you have to do if you were going to make Dominguez a left fielder, when he came up last year, you put him in left field and you leave him there. You leave him there for 5 months and see if he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't because this is not this is not the Kansas City Royals.
You're right.
You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of balls go through. There were a lot, Aaron Boone said this was the most talented team that he has had and the most complete team. On paper, he is absolutely right.
Yep.
On paper.
I agree.
Put down those names and who they are, and you look at this roster and you go, wow. And for whatever reason, it doesn't play. That's why, you don't play games on paper.
Yeah, there's a heartbeat. Last thing for me, Susan. I think our audience would like to hear this. And I don't know how wrapped up or how much you care about this, but you certainly know the history as well as anybody that we can possibly call up, which is why we called you. When you don't win a championship for the Yankees, there's a different level of scrutiny. Donnie doesn't have one, but Donnie had no pitching and a bad back. And it's a different relationship, I think, a little bit with Donnie, with Judge. If he never wins one, I know I'm pushing this forward a little bit here, but if he never wins one, do you believe he can be viewed as an all-time Ruth, DiMaggio, Mantle, Berra, Yankee, Titan, Jeter?
They all had one thing in common, didn't they? They all won. I think he will be the next to me. I think Aaron Judge is probably, to watch him for the last 8 years, and he's unbelievable. He's as good a player as I've ever seen in every single way, a better person, and he will be like Mattingly here. I mean, it was like nobody was more beloved in Mattingly. And by the way, when I went to say goodbye to some of the Blue Jays, one of the things I said, all right, congratulations. It's very nice. You better get Don Mattingly his ring now.
Yeah, oh. I'm with you on that, too. I hate Toronto, but win it for Donnie. I'm with you.
Yep. I do feel, you know, Aaron Judge is going to be, what, 34 in April or 35, whenever his birthday is.
34.
Is he going to be this person? We are watching something really special. Really. And sometimes, you know, you're in the middle of it. Like, you know, when you saw Mariano, you knew that you take everything in. This is never coming back again. And, you know, players are different. Every day there'll be another one in generation. This is as good a player as I've ever seen. And what he doesn't have that the other have is rings.
Where would you rank that moment, the home run off the foul pole?
You know, because of where it was, I mean, you know, it was a Division Series. It was really wonderful. I was glad for him because now this will stop. But they didn't win. So is that going to be? See, that's part of it. It was a wonderful moment. Did they win? No, they did not.
Susan, you are the best. Love listening to you.
By the way, Don Mattingly, I still remember hitting 417 in the wild card.
Hold on to your home run to right center. I was at every one of those games. He hit the ground rule double in Seattle. Oh, my, that was amazing.
The Yankee fans wanted to be the manager, Susan.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted him to be the manager. Whatever.
I don't think Salman passed
that. Whatever. It's a really long time ago. It's 20 years ago. Almost 20 years ago.
My God.
What happened there?
We'll discuss it over lunch one day.
Interesting.
Susan, you are the...
We'll pick up the bill to hear this story.
Susan, you are the best. We love you. Great job on the call.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Yep, sorry. I didn't
all right, March 25th, opening night in San Francisco.
Let's
Nothing
go.
Says opening day like a night game in San Francisco.
The chase for 28.
She's already fired up about that. We love you,
about
Susan.
About Netflix. Yes, can you imagine Netflix opening night? New York Yankees is on
that's
friggin'
true.
Netflix.
That's a joke. She's right.
Maybe
Netflix.
More people will be listening to you on the fan. Thank you, Susan.
All right. Thank you. Yep. Bye-bye, guys.
She is the best. I
love her.
Susan
love
so
having
much.
Her on. She's awesome.
Oh, man.
Love
Makes
it.
Me smile. Yeah, and look, there's a lot there. You know, whether it's the Mattingly stuff.
We got to get that Donnie story.
Yeah.
We have to get that Donnie story.
Into a little bit of it.
Tell me off the air. Tell me some.
Yesterday on the program, I went through Aaron Judge's greatest playoff home runs.
Yes, we left off the one from Game 3.
And the reason I left it off is because card subject to change.
Yes.
How the Yankees do, what happens next will dictate it. Well, we now know what happened. The Yankees got eliminated. So that three-run home run, which was incredible in the moment, is now what?
Yeah,
in
I
your
put
mind?
It at the top of the list because of the immediacy of the moment. Being a real-time judge on Aaron Judge's Game 3 home run. Now, after losing Game 4, I think it probably falls to like 3 or 4.
Oh, I think it falls worse than that.
Why?
Because the other home runs he hit in the wild card game against Minnesota, the wild card game against Oakland, were games and advancements that happened.
Yes, but here's why I say it's a 3 or 4.
Go ahead.
And it's still in the top 5. For up until that home run, and then as a result, this series, everybody had this narrative about Aaron Judge.
That's true.
That he can't hit in the postseason. He's a liability. He stinks. He's an MVP, but he can't do anything when it comes to October baseball. We can now bury that.
I think it buries it for the year,
of
to
course,
be fair.
But yeah, it's not a talking point going into next postseason.
I agree. Like, we've been on the radio all day today. BT and Sal did a great job. The morning guys did a great job. There is very little, if any, hey, Aaron Judge is to blame.
Yes.
You're not getting any of that because the guy batted 500, and even when he was missing the big moments early on, which I was critical of, he answered the call in a Game 3. So I think what Aaron Judge did with the home run was exonerate himself from this mess. He's a part of what happened in 2024.
Right.
When we go back to what went wrong, what happened, and you remember what was said, not just the drop fly ball, but Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton carried him.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that was it was mean, but it was fair. Like, I think everyone understood it.
Oh, it was reality.
It was reality. In the case of 2025, when we diagnose what went wrong, it is being unfair to say Aaron Judge has anything to do with it. And so that's what I think the home run does. I don't think it lives in some kind of magical history. I think it just exonerated him for the year.
I agree with that. But now he's got to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, the moment he has a postseason where he slumps again and they don't win a World Series, we'll go back to crushing him. But we will not enter next October worrying about Aaron Judge.
Right.
Assuming they get to
And
October.
You shouldn't worry about Aaron Judge going into next October.
No.
As long as he's healthy.
Well, and that's the thing. You remember a week before the playoffs started or a few days, I said, here's why I'm confident. He was hot. Mm-hmm. And I just figured, well, he's hot. He's playing well.
Well,
if
part
you
of
look
it,
at some of his past postseasons, he's actually gone in slumping. So he's just going to remain hot. And honestly, that's what happened.
Well, I think we brought this up. This was probably a month or so after he missed some time and then ultimately had to be a DH for a lot of those moments. We make so much of how the fact he never misses games.
Right.
Unless he's legitimately hurt and he's on IR. But he always plays 157 games, 154 games. I think it did him some good to not have to play in the field.
Fair point.
For, I don't know how many games that was, 30-something, whatever number of
Kept
games.
Kept him fresh.
Ironically,
where he DH'd.
We were here the first time he was playing the field. It was the last time we were here. Was the Giant Fest.
I don't remember this at all.
The lineup broke, and
oh,
we said,
right.
Look at this breaking news. Aaron Judge is back in right field.
That's right.
I was too focused on not getting beat up by Giant fans because I told them they were going to stink. And so
that was the beginning of the season.
First Football Friday.
I got booed by all you people because I said they're going to win four games. Meanwhile, spoiler alert, Evan was right.
Yeah, I was with the Yankees.
Hey, you weren't, though. We had a caller earlier. You could rewind on the Audis app who nailed you. You kept moving the goalposts.
No, I didn't.
You said they couldn't beat the Red Sox.
Right.
They did.
Okay.
So you
said the Yankees would not beat the Red Sox and Blue Jays. I was right about the Blue Jays.
Okay, so you were 50-50.
Okay, I also said that before Roman Anthony got hurt.
Stop it. Don't give me the Roman.
Well, I mean, it matters.
Let's go to Mike and Nutley. How you doing today, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All's good. What's happening?
So, yesterday, just want to reference what you guys were talking about, 2007. I went to Game 4 when the Yankees lost that series at home against Cleveland.
Yep.
Roger Clemens pitched Game 3. They won. Johnny Damon hit a home run. They won that game. I went to Game 4. Chin Ming Hwan pitched on 3 days rest. And Grady Sizemore hit one out as I was walking into second 39, the right field bleacher. So they lost they lost at home that series, but it was in 4. In reference to this team that embarrassed themselves last night, you Evan, know years ago what Danny Alderson said, the idea of shopping at Target, what Ford said when they spoke to each other. And
yeah.
That's what the Mets were doing years ago. Well,
yeah.
Flying Cashman. And I'm on Hal. I think the Yankees, Kiki said it before, the Yankees are just happy now putting the quote in the paper that says, we made it. Well, at least we made it 8 out of last 9 years. At least we made it to the ALCS. That's a major problem is that they're now accepting mediocrity. And that's and they're like, I don't need any more 38-year-old first baseman. The Yankees didn't hit a home run since last year. Last year, after Rizzo, he hit a home run from first.
Yeah, but Mike, I think you're partially right, but partially unfair. When you say Hal looks at this season and says, hey, we won 94 games, we made the playoffs, the park was sold out, successful year, you may be right, and he may not react like his father by firing people or going on a spending spree, but they do not shop at discount stores. They sign Max Fried.
Yeah.
And I think eventually they're going to pay the piper on that because they gave him an 8-year deal. But they weren't thinking about that when they signed him. They said, he's one of the best pitchers available. Let's go get him.
Yeah, but I also think, because you say it's not going to age well because of injury, but Max Fried's injuries have all been blisters.
I want to make it clear, it's nothing against Max Fried. I just think 8-year contracts for any pitcher will likely not age well for everybody.
Yeah.
So it's not about him per se.
You're right.
It's just, it's the nature of the beast.
Of course.
And it's still okay.
He had Tommy John, right?
Max Fried?
Did he have?
If he did, it was early. It may have been when he was in the minor leagues for all I know. But
it's just something you never hear with him. So I don't know if that's just because how he pitches.
But think about Gerrit Cole, though. So they gave him a 9-year contract. That was the initial deal they gave him after the 2019 season. He pitches 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24. His sixth season is when he needed the Tommy John. We don't know what year 7, 8, 9 is going to look like, but I'd argue already a success. If you get 5 out of 9 years.
You get half the contract.
So I would say the same for Max Fried.
And he won a Cy Young, so he was great while he was doing it. It's not like he was bad the whole time.
And that's the way I would view Fried.
Yeah. Course.
So obviously, if next year he falls off the rooftop, it's a bad deal. But I don't think that's a fair critique of Hal and Cash to say, well, they're shopping at the discount rack. They sign Max Fried. And what they do this offseason is going to be fascinating because they're not adding to their rotation, obviously. They're locked in long-term with Gerrit Cole, Max Fried, Carlos Rodon. They got the young kids.
And you should be excited about it.
You should be. I think it's going to come down to Cody Bellinger versus Kyle Tucker. I think that's what it's going to come down to. And I think it's an easy decision. But I'm not going to tell you what that decision is. You'll have to wait a few days. I think it's easy, right, Teak? Don't you think it's easy?
Of course it's easy.
It's simple. We all know the answer. Should we say it all together or just wait?
Yes.
All right, one, two, three.
Kyle Tucker.
Wait, what'd you say?
Depends on the money.
Depends on the money? See, yeah. Now you're shopping at the discount rack.
I think both are great. Give me the cheaper option.
Hmm. What did you say, Teak?
I said the same thing
you said. Oh, you said Kyle Tucker. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure. Let's go to Matthew in Wontaw. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
I think the biggest problem with the Yankees season this year has to be change. They're afraid of change. And two players that are examples of that are Devin Williams and Anthony Volpe this season. Devin Williams blew three saves in April, and Boone finally pulled the plug and put Luke Weaver as the closer. Granted, Weaver got hurt, but why are we going back to Williams to make saves? Yankees should have easily won the AL East if, you know, you stuck with David Bednar when you got him at the trade deadline.
Yeah, but Matthew, you're making a mistake. I warned Met fans, and I'm going to warn you. If you go over every moment that if that goes different, we win one more game.
Yeah, you got to find that one win.
Dude, you're going to find me a win. I don't care where you find it.
The Marlins lost when you acquired all those guys and took them right off red eyes and put them in the game and they blew it.
I know, but it is not.
But what were you doing? What else would you?
You couldn't do anything. You know why? Because Cashman built a terrible team to begin with.
A terrible team. A team that finished tied for the best record in the American League. But if you sit back and go through every decision or every game and say, if we won one more game, we have a bye, we have home field advantage, everything's different, you can drive yourself nuts. Like, that's the way a baseball season always goes.
If Weaver doesn't give up the grand slam to McNeil, Met fans don't have to worry about Sunday. They're already eliminated, and the Yankees win the division.
That's a good point. We got eliminated 2 days earlier, which would have been good for my mental sake. By the way, speaking of getting eliminated 2 days earlier, Tommy Lugauer, last night after the Yankees got eliminated, it's like you had all of these emotions about Mets versus Yankees that respectfully, and I do respect you for this, you held in. You said, you know what, Yankees time, Mets got eliminated, I'm not going to say anything. And then last night, like a kid looking at a naked woman for the very first time, you're like, I'm going to let it all out. And you, Clay Holmes is better than Max Fried, Aaron Judge is a loser.
Correct.
How many days or months did you have the Clay Holmes thing, like, ready to roll?
So I had that Holmes tweet ready to go.
And what was the tweet again for those in the audience?
All right, for those that missed it, I got to go back and do
it. You don't have to read it. You know what you said.
All right, so Clay Holmes, with his team's back against the wall, pitched six shutout innings. Max Fried, with his team's back against the wall, gave up seven runs in three innings. Just saying. So,
just saying.
And Max Fried is signed for another 8 years, and this is the best of Max Fried.
Was that a burn for you, Sean, when you heard that? Like, ooh, burn!
No, because he forgets we had Clay Holmes and he stunk in the postseason, too.
And then the other thing I said, which is what you guys... I'll let that go. The other thing I said, which you guys just brought up, is that Aaron Judge has become a charity case because...
That one I didn't understand, so explain.
Oh, Teak.
Well, Tommy's a charity case, so he can relate.
Can I talk? It's my turn. He hit a home run in the fourth inning of his team down 2-0 in a series, and we're acting like it's Timmy, who we put in right field that bats ninth, and he got a double, and everybody's got to stand up and cheer him. What was the biggest spot in this series? Bases loaded, game one, and he struck out. So let's stop treating the best player in the sport like a charity case. Otherwise, I'm just going to say this. The bar is so low for him that basically it's like, well, it's not his fault. He hit a bunch of singles in this series. And oh, by the way, he hit the foul pole 2 inches to the left or right. 2 inches to the right. He doesn't hit the home run there.
No, just because your wife has to worry about 2 inches. Don't worry about the 2 inches.
I was told it's the motion in the ocean. You know what I mean? But am I wrong here?
No, you are wrong about that.
How am I wrong?
No, it sounds a lot like Jalen Brunson's defense versus the Pacers.
And that's the other thing, too, and I'm glad you just said that. I was respectful throughout this entire run. Big Mouth over there likes to take shots at the Knicks because his gutless hockey team is sitting at home during the playoffs. So when the Yankees are playing, I am respectful because, number one, I'm not going to be a Yankee hater when they're in it because I think that's disrespectful to the audience.
That's very
but
good
you could bet your ass when they're out of it, I'm going to bring the thunder because you know what? There's a portion of the audience that was sick of hearing about it.
Great. You better bring the thunder to the Port Authority because you ain't getting a ride home.
I kind of need one.
Well said. A lot of what you said was good. The judge thing is he hit 500.
I know. It's hard to accept that.
He hit a soft 500, and he hit the foul pole.
A soft 500?
So his biggest moment is hitting the foul pole.
What is a soft 500?
He hit a bunch of singles. His biggest moment in this series, he struck out.
All right. By the way.
Oh, and the ball went under his legs
again. By the way, if anybody else needed – if the Yankees had guys that would hit soft singles – with runners in scoring position,
yeah.
One of six yesterday, they win yesterday.
No doubt. He's 34 years old, 34, and has, or he's going to be 34, and has zero rings. So he's on his way to Patrick Ewing, and I love Patrick.
Sure.
He's on his way to Henrik Lundqvist. And, oh, by the way, he is 10 times the player, Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing wasn't even the best center.
Different sport, you know that.
Mm. Evan.
Baseball, come on.
Okay.
Tommy, just answer this.
Ohtani won a ring last year. You can give me Bonds.
Who had a better batting average in the postseason? Aaron Judge or a combined Juan Soto, Francisco Lindor?
So your only defense is to take shots at the Mets. It means you have no defense.
No, it is a defense.
All right, guys, just settle down.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.